Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. On this week's show, we're going to be talking about the latest release of Vinix, which is a version of the Linux operating system that is accessible out of the box with built-in screen readers and magnifiers so you can use it.
We'll be talking with Rob White of the Vinix Project about what's new in their latest release. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is Vinix is a great operating system. Give it a try.
These programs have come quite far these days. They seem to be quite competitive with some of the commercial screen readers that you would see in Windows.
Well, that's right. You've got a very big open source community who spends a lot of time and quite often their own time making these tools better, making the libraries work, looking at faster ways to do things. And this has come so far that most of the computers in this household are running Vinix. My children have run Vinix since they were using computers. They're 5 and 7, and for, I would say, 3 years, they've used Vinix.
Just a note about the name, it's built from the Linux operating system and a slight variation, but they put a VI for visually impaired in front of it, thus the name Vinix.
And it works with either the command line interface that some of you may be used to as the old style way of interacting with Unix or Linux, but also with the graphical user interface, and whatever kind of interface you want to use, you can now do it as a visually impaired person thanks to the Vinix variety of Linux. Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Rob White. Can you start by introducing yourself?
My name is Rob White, and I am part of the Vinix Project team. I live in Australia. I'm 35 years old. I have a family of 2 children who are 5 and 7, and another one on the way. I work in education. Initially, I started out supporting visually impaired students for Tasmania, and also their support network, teachers and other teacher assistants like myself. Then I moved into mainstream special education, which isn't as enjoyable, but it has its perks. You get to help a lot of young people. I'm also interested in tech. Since 2003, I've started using a screen reader. I started out on JAWS. I had to teach myself.
I gather you have a visual impairment yourself?
Yes, I was flagged quite early. I was about 1 of having poor eyesight. My memory is probably the 2 months oxygen at birth kind of story, along with lots of other people. And my eye condition is retinitis pigmentosa. I have a little bit of light perception in my right eye due to having cataract off in 1990 when I was in grade 7. And my left eye has maybe 1 or 2% of, I can see shapes.
Well, Rob mentioned he's from Tasmania, and we had to look on a globe. Tasmania is as far away from us as it's humanly possible to live. What's the relationship between Tasmania and Australia?
Oh, they're on the mainland. Australia is the mainland.
Is Tasmania part of Australia?
Absolutely. But on a map, the bottom right-hand corner of Australia where you've got Victoria, beneath that we've got a bit of a strait of water, and then there's a island and a couple of little islands above it, King Island and Flinders Island, and that's Tasmania, population of approximately 500,000, and it's quite rural, 3 cities. And of course we're the home of the Tassie Devil, which is vicious. You don't want one as a pet.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
For this week's focus topic, we'll be talking about what's new in Vinix 4.0 that was just released in May of 2013. Paraphrasing from their homepage, Vinix is a Ubuntu-derived version of the Linux operating system that's optimized for the needs of blind and partially sighted users. By default, Vinix provides two screen readers, screen magnification, global font size and color changing features, as well as support for USB Braille displays.
So in a bit, we want to talk to you about what's new in version 4.0 of Vinix that you just released. But in the meantime, for people who aren't familiar with Vinix, can you tell us about what Vinix is?
Well, Vinix, which rhymes with Linux, is a version of Linux that Tony Sayers, the founder of Vinix, started to basically hack up with out-of-the-box accessibility enabled. So we've gotten to a stage where you can download an ISO or an image, burn it to a CD, or write it to USB media, and restart your computer, push your magic keys, or automatically boot whichever kind of computer you may have. And after a minute or two, it will come up talking. It's self-guided through the installer. You've got the screen reader from console right through to the graphical environment, and you can install it by yourself. You don't need a sighted person to come and click on the things for you, to help you with the partitioning and basically do it for you. So a person with a visual impairment has that independence. Accessibility has been around for a while. It's not a new thing to Vinix. Vinix hasn't developed the screen reader. What it's done is put all the things into one CD, and there are customizations that we make and there's code that we write, but it's because of the open source community that Vinix can exist.
So you just kind of glossed over this, but Vinix is free and open source and readily available to anybody who wants it.
That's right. On our website, vinixproject.org, we offer quite varying solutions. If you have Windows on your computer, you can install a virtual machine, which you can download on our website, and it walks you right through it, unzip and basically run it.
For those that may not know, can you describe what a virtual machine is?
A virtual machine is something that you can run inside a program such as another program called VMware, and it will simulate another computer, and it's called a guest operating system. Your computer that you use at home, let's just say you've got Windows XP, that would be your host operating system. You set up your virtual machine, in this case you go onto our website and download it, and you would be actually running Windows and Vinix. And you can just Alt-Tab out.
So essentially, if you don't want to install Vinix as your operating system on your computer, you can still be running Windows, but run Vinix as if you were running it on a computer within your Windows operating system.
That's right. That's exactly right, Pete. You have the safety net, plus the convenience of being able to flick back easily to what you're used to, and you can learn. You can go back to your email, your Google. You can find out how to do something within seconds instead of having to be stuck or find another computer or ask for help because you don't know or you're not sure how to do something simple.
And I've made a lot of use of that. I've run virtual Vinix from inside Windows. And as you say, I can be working in the Vinix operating system and do all the normal things people could do in a Linux environment. But yet it's a very easy key sequence to switch back to Windows and run the programs that need to be run in Windows without rebooting your machine.
That's exactly right. So it's a really good thing to have that safety net there.
So Vinix has always been accessible, as you say, out of the box with a built-in screen reader and a magnifier built in and all the tools that a blind person would need. What is new in the newest release of Vinix 4.0?
What we've done in Vinix 4 is we've worked quite hard with an Ubuntu accessibility developer, Luke Yelovich, who we're very fortunate to have on our development team, to make the console screen reader, which is called SpeakUp, accessible in a secure way. Previously, we could give a user the choice to run the console screen reader or to run the GNOME screen reader, Orca, but not both unless we made changes to the system which made the system less secure, and that's with the Pulse Audio sound daemon. That has now been resolved, and we can offer SpeakUp and Orca to the user in a secure environment.
What are some of the other new features in Vinix 4.0?
The Qt AtSpy, which is an assistive technology service provider interface, has allowed us to run some programs such as Skype, which has previously been one of those troubling programs to get to work, and it's quite a simple ask from the community. I've got Phoenix, can I use Skype? And we'd have to say, well, no, it's being fixed, it's being worked on. And in the last 12 months, we've had that feature and other programs that rely on Qt software that can actually work now. So it's a big step forward without having to use it and write another API which can interface with that.
So that's great that Skype is now accessible in Vinix, which is what makes this interview possible.
That's right. I'm very glad that I'm not actually having to interview you from a Windows or an Apple machine trying to talk how great Vinix is when I'm not able to do the interview on Vinix. So that's a wonderful step forward.
Even Vinix 3.0 was fairly accessible. I mean, there were not many things that were a problem in it. What else is new in version 4.0 that people might notice?
We've completely redesigned our build process. We now build our images in the same manner that Ubuntu build their images. So we've got an automated process. And because of that, we are able to include a lot more language packs. But now we can have the Brazilian languages or the French languages, all of the other languages, wherever you happen to be around the world, you can install in your native language, which is a really big step forward for Vinix to be able to do that.
So again, just to clarify for some of our users, you've mentioned Ubuntu several times. Ubuntu is sort of a mainstream Linux operating system, of which there are many varieties, but Ubuntu is one of the more popular ones. And what you're telling us now is that you're building directly off the Ubuntu builds, so you don't have to do quite as many modifications. So Vinix can stay more in step with the Ubuntu builds.
That's right. Thanks to Luke, our development genius, we build the images the exact same method that Ubuntu builds theirs. It's an automated process. There's no human error involved, which can save quite a lot of time, especially if you're tired.
Boy, this is really exciting stuff. What other new features have come out with Vinix 4.0 that people should be aware of?
Another good feature that we have moved to with Vinix 4 is the Unity desktop, which is slightly different to the old classic GNOME style, which is what we've shipped with for quite a few releases now, where we have the top panel, the main menu on the Alt+F1. We can navigate through your internet category, your office category, your multimedia, etc. And the bottom panel with your sound, network, and other applets that you might decide to run on your system. We now have a more streamlined interface, which Canonical, who sponsor Ubuntu, have designed for Ubuntu. And you have a launcher on the left-hand side of your screen, which is just like a dock. And you have your main menu up the top, which has what we now call indicators, which are the same as the applets. So your indicators have network, sound, Dropbox, whatever you may have installed, your weather applets. So it's a really quite a streamlined interface, and the shortcut keys aren't as complicated now. If you want to access something on your launcher, you use, we call it the super key. Most people might call it the Windows key, super one, and you'll go straight into your home folder, or super two, and you're in Firefox, and they're all configurable.
Oh, that's really neat. So now this Unity desktop is totally accessible with Vinix?
Yep, it's fantastic. It's really, really good. Some people have had trouble when they first use it, just making that change. But as change, you need to give it a couple of days, and then most people really, really like it. I didn't use it for a year or so when it was first brought out. And then when I did decide to, I was stoked with it. And now I'm pro Unity because I just made myself use it, and I really love it.
So if people have been used to using Vinix 3.0 or earlier, and now they want to switch to the new version, what is the easiest way for them to adjust to this new interface? What are they going to notice first?
Well, they're going to notice that it runs faster, which is a big plus, especially we've moved to GNOME 3 now. More emphasis put on the graphics. There's a lot of code under the hood, but it works very well on older hardware still. And if someone doesn't like the Unity interface, we've included an indicator, which is called Indicator Classic Menu, and they can still fall back by pushing Alt+F10 and just arrowing across, and they can have that classic menu that they're used to. The person can transition very easily with that little bit of support in place out of the box. We have included what's called GNOME Fallback on our DVD images, which simulates the old GNOME 2 classic desktop feel, and we've also included GNOME Shell as an alternative to Unity. So we're really trying to give our users a lot of options in one of our point releases, maybe 4.1. We also plan to try and release an XFCE version of Phoenix, which is a lightweight desktop environment.
You've talked about the flexibility of Linux, and I know in all of your previous versions, you've had many different ways you can install this. So you can install it as your primary operating system from CD, you can install it onto a thumb drive and run it from a thumb drive, you can run it from a CD, you have the virtual machines that you can run inside of a Windows environment. Are these options still going to be available in the new update?
That's right. And again, in one of our point releases, we also plan on allowing a user to use what's called Wubi, the Windows Ubuntu installer, which can allow the person to put the CD in that they've put Phoenix on. It will auto start in Windows and they can run a basic accessible installer from Windows. And with the Wubi installer, they can choose, let's say, 20 gig from their Windows drive and install Phoenix that way. And that actually doesn't change any of your hard drives. It actually makes a directory on your C drive called Ubuntu, and then it will put an option in your boot menu which will say Ubuntu or Phoenix without touching your bootloader. It actually writes it to your Microsoft Windows boot menu.
So when you boot your computer, you get a choice of whether to boot into Windows or into Phoenix. Is that right?
That's right. If you have Windows on your machine and or Apple OS X and you decide to do what we call a native Phoenix install, which is where you actually set up a partition and you set up the file system, it will detect any other operating systems that are running on your computer. But the Wubi method is, again, as you said, Pete, another way to offer a flexible install for users to have that safety net in place.
For people that are a little reticent about making a complete change from Windows to Phoenix.
That's right, and it's good to have a transition period. Some people like to live on the edge and read about something and decide, yep, I'm going to do that. But if you throw away what you're used to or what you may have paid for before you know what you're getting into, people may regret it and it may impact on that experience being a positive one. So putting yourself in a position where you're not setting yourself up to potentially fail is a really good way. So we often suggest to people, if you haven't used Phoenix or Linux or Ubuntu or any kind of environment other than what you're used to, make sure you have that support network in place where you can fall back to something that is familiar.
And Orca is the built-in screen reader that comes with Phoenix.
That's right. Orca comes with GNOME, or GNOME as some people say. It just works again as expected.
Well, that's great. And what's the built-in magnifier called?
We're using the Compass eZoom magnifier. Orca no longer carries magnification within itself, but we've switched to the 3D magnifier, and it seems to be quite successful. We also have retained the font-changing scripts that Bill Cox wrote for the Phoenix 3 releases, where on the fly you can change your font and also whether the screen appears to be a dark theme or a light theme. So again, we're trying to accommodate varying visually impaired users as well as the total blind user who will be relying on text-to-speech solely.
And if you want to learn more about Orca and GNOME, we did a prior show, number 1222, on that topic with some of the developers of that. What devices and speech synthesizers does Phoenix support?
Open source software like Ubuntu and like Phoenix supports a lot of different synthesizers. We still support Braille displays. We still support hardware synthesizers like the DeckTalk or the Apollos and things like that. But you can have the Spectral Voices, which you'll hear on an Apple Mac with VoiceOver. You can have the Eloquence Voice, which is called Voxen, that people hear on JAWS. A lot of people like that because it transitions them so much easier. We've got eSpeak, the open source synthesizer that we ship with, which is a very lightweight synthesizer. It does sound quite computery. A lot of people really like eSpeak because it works so well and so fast and it's very clear. And there's a lot of other voices like Festival, the AT&T voices. It just goes on and on.
So if people want to try out this new version of Phoenix and download it for themselves, where should they go?
Phoenixproject.org. has plenty of links there for downloads. We have a very good support network on Google Groups for email, which is at groups.google.com/group/vinix-support. People can send an email directly to vinix-support+subscribe@googlegroups.com. We have an IRC channel for live assistance. We have Ventrilo servers with a Mangler client, which is the Linux version of Ventrilo, and that is all able to be ran directly from a CD or a USB stick, as well as your installed system, as it's one of our default packages. We have a really good support network. It's a really good community. It's warm, inviting, and people are willing to help. One of our features that we have, and this was developed by Bill Cox and Sina Barham, is called CFH, which stands for Cry for Help. It's so good. Someone may be a new user, and in the old days, they could have lost their speech, which doesn't happen anymore, and they could run this CFH program, which is very simple to get started, and it sends out an email as a cry for help, and a trusted guru, which is a handful of Vinix development members, could log into the system remotely and get that person's speech up and running again, or whatever problem they may have been having, and back into an accessible state. So that's something we pride ourselves on, having that functionality where, again, the Vinix community helps one another.
This CFH program, is this found on your main site or something you have to install extra?
We don't have it on our images, but it's very simple to install. One command, or we can type it into the dash and it will be offered to install. We also have easy install scripts, which can be an option in that. Our next point release, 4.1, will have these kind of programs listed in the installer. Do you want to install this? Do you want to install that? Oh, hey, this program wouldn't fit on the CD, but if you want to install it when you're installing, tick this box.
Well, that makes it really simple for everybody, and I encourage people to try it out. As Rob mentioned, there are many ways you can try it out without taking a big risk.
Now for this week's high-tech item, what's next for Vinix and how you can help contribute to its success.
You talked about Vinix 4.1 having some additional install options. What are the next major milestones that you are looking for in Vinix?
In the last few releases, we've made what's called easy install scripts, which is basically an icon we stick on a desktop and in the menus, and it has a list of programs. It will say, do you want to install Easy Install Office, Easy Install Codecs, and the user will say yes, and it'll go off and it'll fetch those 10 programs that we couldn't make fit on the CD. Those list of accessible applications which the Vinix community decides on will be integrated into our installer. We're hoping to have a package screen where someone can pick the software that they'd like to install when they're installing onto their hard drive or onto their USB stick or whatever medium they may be installing to. In one of our point releases for Vinix 4, we're also hoping to have a synth installer where you'll be able to provide a commercial synthesizer to the installer and it will seamlessly install it for you. Some confusion has been experienced in the past with people trying to get, say, a Sepstral voice or the Voxen voice to install and they don't really know where to start. This is quite warranted because without some Linux knowledge, it can very easily seem too hard to achieve. We're trying to take that away and offer a simplistic way for someone to get the voice they want without having to go and read a book.
Well, that's nice. To try to make it even more turnkey for people and easy to use.
You mentioned that Vinix is open source software. If anybody wanted to pitch in and help develop the next round of Vinix improvements, where would they go?
Oh, I hope they do. Come to us, write to us on our emailing list. They can write to me personally, rob@vinixproject.org. Come to our IRC channel on irc.vinixproject.org in number Vinix. It's quite easy to find us. Type in Vinix in the Google and you'll find us. People who can write software, who can bash script, who can program in Perl or Python or GTK, C, C++, of experience in Debian or Ubuntu packaging, are welcome. We have excellent contributors who started out as myself, not knowing anything, writing a bit of documentation, testing, and we just see them evolve into wonderful people who gain their confidence and contribute to the community. So that's how easy it is. One thing that is really good about Phoenix is, as I mentioned before, the community support and how there are a lot of people from different countries and different backgrounds who wish to work together. This is something that we really promote and encourage other projects to collaborate with Phoenix or with each other so that we can all join together toward our common goals, toward having accessibility, towards offering tools for developers to take accessibility seriously when they're creating programs. Instead of once the program's released and then there's a minority with the visually impaired community jumping up and down saying, hey, this is a great program, we can't use this. And then having to figure out ways to patch their program to include accessibility.
And when will Phoenix 4.0 be available?
We've just released. We're very happy that Eyes on Success are able to accommodate us so quickly to get us on the program as you have. So thank you, Nancy, and thank you, Pete. And it's available now, Phoenix 4.0, on our website on www.phoenixproject.org.
And as we mentioned, as an open source project, all of this is free, along with all the applications that run on it, all the Office applications, Skype, various mail clients, whatever you want, you can find for Phoenix and install it usually for free.
And as usual, we will have all of those links that Rob mentioned on the show notes associated with this show on our website at www.eyesonsuccess.net. And in addition, we mentioned the prior show about Orca and GNOME, number 1222. We also did a prior show, kind of an introduction to Phoenix, with Tony Sales and Mobeen Iqbal, who originated Phoenix in the first place. If you want to go back and get an overview of Phoenix, that's show number 1136, and we will have links to those in the show notes as well.
So check it out.
A quick note about this show. We pre-recorded it in order to be able to air it coincident with the release of version 4.0 of Phoenix. And as often happens with new product releases, not everything that was anticipated to be ready in time for the release was. And these are just a couple of little things, and they include the magnifier and the use of the GNOME shell as a fallback on the DVD image version. Also, Wubi is not being included because it is not compatible with Windows 8. As Rob said when informing us of this, a major factor about this release is that Phoenix is committed to getting this image out there for the community. One of the wonderful features of Phoenix 4.0 is that the Phoenix team wants the community to be able to update, and the Phoenix team is supporting this process. Through these updates, the team can continue to improve and introduce new features in further releases. That's it for show number 1322. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about sports and recreation for the blind. We'll speak with Andrew Leibs, author of the Encyclopedia of Sports and Recreation for People with Visual Impairments, which was recently published. We'll discuss specific sports that the visually impaired can do, interviews he did with experts in adaptive sports, and some useful resources for people who want to get involved. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook at Eyes on Success and on Twitter at _EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.